bless you so that you'll be a blessing too. Okay, my fellow detectives. Do you have any idea where those words come from? I will bless you so that you'll be a blessing too. Any idea where those words come from? Yeah, do you have an idea? Where do those words come from? Oh, Genesis 12. Okay, yes. This is not just Brian standing here and saying, I will bless you. So that you, these are very old words. These are ancient words. These are words of scripture that we are singing together. This is Genesis 12. This is the call of Abram and Sarai. This is God saying, I have a plan. I have a dream. I have a strategy. And my plan and my dream and my strategy is this. It's for blessing for the whole world. And to do this, I intend to make, out of you, I intend to make a community. And through this community, I intend to bless all communities of the earth. It's amazing. What do you think? Would you like to sing it? I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you, so that you'll be a blessing too. I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you, so that you'll be a blessing too. Oh, but do you know what we have just done? What you have just done. Oh my goodness. You have taken this ancient text, we have taken these ancient words, and we have dared to sing them as though they speak to us now. We have dared to take these words and claim that this is still happening. This is still in effect. God's plan, God's dream, God's strategy is still in effect even now. And we are part of it. We are invited to be part of it. That's quite a claim to make. That's quite a radical thing to say. How do you feel about that? What do you think? Is that appropriate that we do that? What are the benefits? What are the life-giving benefits of saying we are part of God's enduring purposes in the world? It's still happening, and we're part of it. We can be part of it. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I love to begin many different kinds of sessions with that simple chorus. To help, it's very grounding for me, to help me understand and remember who I am, who I am invited and called to be, who we are invited and called to be. But let's be aware, there are dangers to making this kind of move too, this kind of interpretive move, when it comes to taking an ancient text like that and claiming that it applies to us now. What are the dangers of doing that kind of thing? Oh, it's rich. It's rich stuff. It's important stuff. And I've been so blessed, so grateful this weekend to have a chance to be exploring this with you. And we'll do more of that even this morning as we pay attention to what's written in Scripture, in ancient writings, and we see, well, does this speak to us now? How? What are the possibilities? What are the dangers? So, part of this is a kind of an invitation to enter a kind of wrestling match. So the next song, and you have some words in front of you shortly. If you've already learned the song this weekend, you have a moral obligation to sing real loud. Tuning, Wesley. It goes like this. If you know it, please sing along, and if you don't, you'll get the hang of it as we go. This isn't as easy a sing-along song as the last one, but I invite you to enter in. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with the Lord, wrestling with each other, wrestling to be heard, wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word. I think you maybe brought the guitar down for that tuning, which I appreciate. I'm wondering if it, are you hearing enough guitar as we do this? You are hearing enough? Okay. Jacob was a wrestler. He wrestled till the dawn. Wrestled with a stranger, would not let him go on. Until the stranger blessed him, left with a limping walk. Somehow in this wrestling, he saw the face of God. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with the Lord, wrestling with each other, wrestling to be heard, wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word. Jesus was a wrestler, he wrestled 40 days. Wrestled in the wilderness, temptation had to face, with Satan quoting scripture and Jesus quoting too. Emerged from all this wrestling with a message of good news. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with the Lord, wrestling with each other, wrestling to be heard, wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word. Jacob was a wrestler, and I'm a wrestler too. Jesus wrestled mightily, and so my friends will you. When scripture is the ring where this wrestling's going on, listening to each other, we might hear the voice of God. Yes, listening to the other, we just might hear the voice of God. Listening to each other, we might hear the voice of God. Listening to the other, we might hear the voice of God. When I wrote that song, I was going for the world record of how many times can you say the word wrestling in one song. And I'm not aware of any challengers. If you know of anyone, please let me know. Does this reflect at all your experience of the Bible? Of scripture and of your life now, our life now, a kind of wrestling. I think we're invited to this. I think we're invited to this as individuals, as communities. And as I say, it's been a joy and a blessing for me to be invited to be part of this wrestling among you this weekend and even this morning. So I want to invite us to open again this text that we've already heard this morning, to pay attention to some wrestling that's going on there, and maybe be ready to tag team, ready to be co-wrestlers in this main event this morning. No, I shouldn't have said main event. In this event this morning, it's a wonderful thing. Okay, so Matthew chapter 11. If you have Bibles handy, please turn to those. If not, don't worry about it. No problem. We will walk through it here, bit by bit. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. And when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples. Okay, so those of you who were part of the sessions yesterday are already ready to engage the exercise that we worked with a number of times, something I like to call making a map of the conversation, making a map of the interaction. Who's involved? Where are we? Who's talking to who about whom or about what? What kind of conversation are we part of here? And already our map is pretty, has a lot of information, doesn't it? Jesus has just finished instructing disciples about their ongoing mission. And now John, who is in prison, this John who baptized Jesus a while before, John is in prison and sends word to Jesus through his disciples. So you see how your map is taking shape? Who's talking to who, about whom, about what? John sends disciples to ask Jesus a question, and the question is this: are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? I think it's very helpful to pay close attention to this question, because it can pass us by pretty quick. What kind of question is this? Are you the one who is to come? It's a profoundly scriptural question. The one who is to come, the Messiah. What does that mean, a Messiah, a Christ? It's interesting, when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, so there's this sense that John knows, yes, this Jesus is Messiah, I think. When he heard what the Messiah was doing, he asked this question, so are you or are you not the Messiah? Are you the one who is to come or are you not? What is a Messiah? It's a profoundly scriptural question. It's also a profoundly political question. Deeply, deeply. A Messiah is a king. A Messiah is a ruler. A Messiah is an anointed one, anointed for that leadership role. And the people are waiting for a Messiah. For a king, for a ruler. Oh boy. To ask this kind of question. Are you the coming ruler? Are you the coming king? To ask this question in public, with other people around, when there happens to be another king on a throne. To ask this question in public with other people around, it's somebody who's in prison, put there by the king, because of criticizing the king. That's why he's in prison. And he's asking this question about whether you are the king who's going to come and replace that one. I think we can see how profoundly political and profoundly to ask that kind of question in public. It passes us by pretty quick, I think. We're used to this kind of language. Jesus is king. I noticed even this morning as we sang our hymns, as we entered into worship, and thank you again to all who are leading us in that process and with such care and so well. This is wonderful. I was really struck by this hymn we sang, Jesus, Thou Mighty Lord, Great is Thy Name. Yeah, we sing that kind of thing. Next verse, Jesus, Thou Mighty Lord, Jesus, Our King. We're kind of used to it, right? If you're used to being in settings like this, maybe you're used to it. If this setting feels very strange to you this morning, maybe that seems like very strange language. What? It's appropriate for us, I think, to again receive this as strange language. Jesus, our King? Jesus, our supreme political ruler? What are we saying when we say that? What are we saying when we say that in a context where there is another in charge who threatens and imprisons and calls people traitors and all kinds of, oh, this is profoundly political stuff, right? Are you the one who is to come? So it will not surprise you, there's another song I'd like to share with you now. There's no, oh yeah, the slide will tell you what the song is, but that's all it'll give you. So this song is by a songwriter. I don't know how familiar you are with this particular songwriter. It goes by the name of the Apostle Paul. So this song is pretty much straight from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you'd like to follow along with that chapter, you're welcome to do that. And I was really struck reading this text, just how well it sings, when I thought, you know what, this would be, I'd like to find a way to sing this text. It's remarkable how readily it lent itself to simply singing through the text. And I hope you can hear in this text the kind of wrestling that's going on, the kind of wrestling with Scripture that the Apostle Paul is doing, especially around this question of a Messiah. A Messiah, a king, who comes and then gets himself killed. A crucified Messiah. How is this possible? Where do you get there when you're studying Scripture about the Messiah and what a Messiah will be and do? How do you get from Psalm 2 and a Messiah who is called to shatter the nations with a rod to bring God's justice? How do you get from that to a crucified Jesus and calling him Messiah? It's astonishing. It's an astonishingly radical interpretive move when it comes to how Scripture functions and how Scripture speaks now. So Paul is doing this kind of wrestling, and some, I don't know, in this room, some might really, really like Paul for a whole variety of reasons. And some in this room might really, really not like Paul for a whole variety of reasons. But I'd like to just sing, this is a pretty long song, so a bit of a warning. It's just a long song, it's not a sing-along song. I invite you to just receive it, just hear it. But this might be the Apostle Paul wrestling in a way that you might not be used to hearing Paul. And with this very scriptural, very political, very contemporary question, about how it could be a crucified Messiah. Part of why I think it's a great singer-songwriter song is it also reflects the kind of feeling you have when you dare to stand in front of a group that you don't know, and share something, and you wonder how it's going to be received. I think maybe Paul felt that way too. When I came to you, my sisters, I did not come with lofty words. When I came to you, my brothers, wisdom was not what you heard. I come to you in weakness, fear and trembling in my bones, words not likely to impress you, maybe not quite what you'd hold. I have decided that I know nothing, nothing but Jesus and Jesus crucified. What kind of wisdom is this, you may ask me? How is the power of God revealed in one who died? There is power revealed in weakness. There is spirit in this mess. This is far from human wisdom. It's the power of God, I guess. This is not how rulers function, cannot even comprehend. If they did, they never would have crucified the one God sent. But now we know, as it is is written. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart can even imagine just what our God has prepared. Now we have received the Spirit so that we might understand gifts that have been given to us, given us from God's own hand. I come to you in fear and trembling in my bones, words not likely to impress you, maybe not quite what you'd hoped. We need a Messiah. Oh, do we ever. Right? Nobody knows it better than John. Sitting in prison, political prisoner for criticizing the king. And now he's asking, okay, Jesus, really? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another? Supposedly our text this morning is Matthew 11. We're only going to have time to highlight just a couple of things here. But I invite you, maybe you want to go home and explore this a bit more. That would be a good thing to do. And part of what we're exploring when we do this is, what is this connection between what's written long ago, what's promised, what God's intentions for the world are, and what we're experiencing now? How do those things relate to each other? Can it be that what was written long ago can help us make sense of what is happening now? And can it be that what is happening now can help us make sense of what was written long ago? And how do these things relate? I think we can relate to that question, that dilemma, that wrestling. And I think this text can too. So John asked this question through the disciples, are you the one? And here's what Jesus says. Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. This is the response of Jesus. What kind of response is this? Are you the one who is to come? Well, you tell me. Look around. Look at what I'm doing. Look what my priorities are. Look what my work is. Now you decide. You do some interpretive work. How does that match up? Jesus does it again. He keeps doing this, entrusting us with this kind of interpretive responsibility to pay attention to what is going on now, to what is written in Scripture, and to work at understanding the connections, knowing that it's a challenge. Sure is a challenge for John. Jesus invites that kind of wrestling, that kind of process. And what he does is, I find this so intriguing. On the one hand, this is a laundry list of Jesus' activities, right? If you read the chapters before, this is exactly what Jesus is doing. This is his mission report. It's his activity report. Healing, cleansing, good news, raising the dead even, care and concern for the marginalized, care and concern for the ones who are pushed aside. This is what Jesus is about. Now you tell me, the one who is to come? Now, if we would have time and would go back, and when you go this afternoon, you might want to go and have a look at Isaiah. And it turns out when Jesus is giving his ministry report, is he interpreting scripture? Because this kind of list, the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the dead, the poor, we find these kinds of lists throughout the prophet Isaiah as indicators of God's intentions, God's enduring intentions for the world. This is what God's about. This is the agenda. Jesus embraces this agenda. He makes some interpretive choices. Oh. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with what's going on right now, right here, how to be faithful to what God wants in the world. My fellow wrestlers, my fellow detectives, what in the world, God, are you doing, right? How do you ask that question? Looking around, reading the news, paying attention to what's happening in your own family, your own community, your own heart. What are you doing, God? Detectives of divinity. Well, let's sing again. And this one you already know. So I would remind you, please, that you have what you need to be detectives. But we might use some more good practice together. So, can I see your detective equipment? Do you have it? Can you show me? You still got it? You haven't forgotten? Fantastic. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something, of that you can be sure. So start the investigation, the clues are everywhere. When I wake up in my bed, the first thing that I see, sunlight spilling through my window shines all over me. Clue already? Can it be? I think it is, I say. God's love's already shining before I start my day. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something. Of that you can be sure. So start the investigation. The clues are everywhere. You know, I found myself in the United States quite a lot over the past number of years. And that phrase, start the investigation, I find kind of rings in the air in a different kind of way. This kind of intensely scriptural, intensely political, intensely contextual question. It's very real, isn't it? What can we learn when we pay attention to Jesus' use of scripture? In living and working and seeking to be faithful to God in his context. And what can we learn for ours? Okay, so here we go. This is the most intensely political part of the song. But it's all there. Baptizer John needed proof, so he sent some friends to investigate if Jesus really was the one God sent. Jesus answered, "Go tell John what you have seen and heard. The lame are walking, blind can see. There's good news for the poor. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something, of that you can be sure. So start the investigation, the clues are everywhere. So let's ask questions, follow leads, check for DNA. Dusting for God's fingerprints each and every day. Those fingerprints are everywhere if you have eyes to see. 'Cause God is far from finished with you and you and me. Let's sing it together. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something of that you can be sure. So start the investigation. The clues are everywhere.